Your business exists because you had the idea to start it. Everything begins in our minds. That's why your business results cannot outgrow your current level of thinking. Do you want to serve more clients, make more money, without working more or burning yourself out? Grow yourself first as a leader of your business, because that's who you are, a leader, even if you're the only person in your business right now. When you lead yourself first, the business results will always follow. My name is Maggie Perrotin. I'm an international business and leadership coach, an expert in business mindset, strategy, and high performance. I created the Diamond Effect podcast to help you elevate your thinking, expand your perspective, and through it, grow your business without overwhelm. So let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to Diamond Effect Podcast. And today I have a little bit different episode for you just because I have an amazing guest with me, Sonia, if I pronounce your name right.
Yes, you did.
Okay, awesome. So before I let you introduce yourself, Sonia, I'll just do a little preempt. So Sonia and I graduated from the same MBA program, Jack Welch Management Institute of the Strayer University. Sonia was one of the first, I think, graduates, right?
Yes,
of the program. And that's how we met. And our journey to from corporate world to entrepreneurship is something we share in common. And I thought it would be a great way to sort of talk about it, right? Because our journey is in common, but then we had our differences, how we ended up, what type of business we started. And I know that there's a lot of people either hoping or would like to start a business and they're in corporate world, or they have or dabbling in business, but they're scared to leave their corporate world. And I think that, you know, that episode would benefit both of our audiences because I know you have a podcast. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. But before we start, Sonia, please introduce yourself a little bit and then we'll get going.
Absolutely. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for having me on your show. My name is Sonia Keeve, and I am the CEO and founder of Sisters with a Voice Podcast Network. And I am also a podcast host, and the name of my podcast is entitled Inspiring Nations with Sonia Keeve. So I'm a podcaster, a master podcast coach, speaker, author, all of those wonderful accolades. But more importantly, I just absolutely love helping women to launch their own powerful podcast shows in 30 days.
That's great. And you know what? I love that timeline, 30 days. It's just like a perfect thing to get your ducks in order.
Yes.
Launch a podcast. I love that. Okay. So let's talk about kind of our journey to the business, right? How did you end up starting a business? How did you come up with an idea and a little bit of that? And then I'll share, you know, a bit of my journey and then we'll go from there.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Without, of course, going back too far. When I had, I was working in banking for many, many years and had gotten a layoff. And it was probably one of the most devastating periods of my life. This was in 2015, because at that time I had kind of solidified in my mind that, you know, I was going to stay with this bank and I was going to retire and, you know, all the things, you know, get the accolades, the plaques, the whole nine. And instead of getting the next promotion, I got a pink slip. And so I was really devastated by that. You know, being so caught off guard. I mean, like if you've ever experienced a corporate layoff, of course, it's not anything that's fun. But I really was just not prepared for this because my children were really young. I was married and it just was a really hard time and trying to figure out like, what could I do that could be mine? Like, what could I do to prevent this from happening again and being so caught off guard? And so I had friends who had always said, you know, start a business. And the thing that kind of turned me off initially about it was because I had seen so many people start a business, like leave their corporate job, start a business, and it didn't go the way they planned. And they went back to corporate. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if I start a business, that's I don't want to do that. Like, if I'm going to do this, I want it to be successful enough that I could still continue to do entrepreneurship. So after the corporate layoff, I did land another job several months later, but I started to work on my business. And the first, my first intro into doing business was I started a t-shirt line, and it was entitled Walk in Love to Creations. And so what it was a t-shirt apparel line that had this saying, hashtag walk in love, out of the Bible verse, Ephesians 5:2. And it was designed to kind of spark random acts of kindness. That was really, and that's what I felt like at that period of time was the way we could all walk in love by, you know, creating these random acts of kindness. And so from that, it was great, you know, as a start, but I wasn't really feeling it to the fullest potential. I was like, man, could I see myself really doing t-shirts? And so I dabbled in that. And then I got approached, a coach and an international speaker reached out to me because she was doing a book project where she was looking for women to tell their stories. And she had been watching my journey of trying to build a business, and I'd got laid off from corporate, but I was still kind of trying to do all the things. And I got a chance to write in an anthology called Women Inspiring Nations. And so that was my first crack at being a published author and kind of telling my story of what it was like to get laid off and still try to figure out to pursue your dreams. And that was in 2017. So we went from 2015, 2 years later, I'm launching a t-shirt line, and now I'm writing a chapter in an anthology. And I was really liking this new entrepreneurship journey. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, what else could I do? Yeah. And so in 2018, a year later, I had the desire to start a podcast because someone had talked to me about it. And I thought, well, I like podcasts, but like what could I do with it? And so I, you know, gave it some thought, went into prayer and kind of asked God, like, you know, what is going to be that thing that people will know me for years from now? And so he gave me Inspiring Nations because he said, he said to me in prayer that, you know, your story of resilience and overcoming is going to inspire so many other women who may face a corporate layoff and may feel lost and hopeless. And they could see through your story of resilience that you still kept going, even in the midst of, you know, devastating tragedy. And so I said, okay, well, if I start a podcast, I need guests, right? And so I said, well, who will, you know, who would be my guest? And so I went on social media and I asked, if I start a podcast, would you be my guest? And 50 women said yes. I was like, oh my God, really? We're doing this? Like, okay, I have to figure this out. And so March 10th of 2018, I said, you know, I had no equipment. I just had my laptop, a dream and a desire. And I launched my very own podcast show, Inspiring Nations, with Sonia Keefe Podcast Show. And we started with those 50 women. And the journey has been absolutely beautiful. And for the past 5 years, I have been podcasting and really connecting with women all around the world. I'm truly living up to the name Inspiring Nations.
And then I guess you turned that experience into another business.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, you know, how many of us out here, you know, you've created something that, you know, you find that you're really naturally gifted at. And I said, well, what could I do that people would pay me for? Because I used to always hear this, like you hear this, what are your gifts? What are you passionate about?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like, you know, there was a period where it was like everything was about passion and purpose and passion and purpose. And I was like, well, what, you know, what is that for me? Like, yeah, I did the t-shirts. Yes, I did the book. You know, I wrote a, you know, chapter in the book, and I launched a podcast, but I never saw the podcast as something passionate. I just saw it as I wanted to just offer a platform for other women. But what it did for me was it opened my eyes that, wait a minute, if I could figure out how to launch an international show, because by the way, Inspiring Nations is in 164 plus countries. And so I was trying to figure, so I said, well, if I start a podcast, you know what? I wonder if I could teach this to other people. And so I put a program together. I started a business in 2020 called Sisters with a Voice Podcast Network. And it was designed to teach and train other women entrepreneurs how to build, how to launch, and monetize a podcast in 30 days? Because I saw that it doesn't take long to launch a podcast. Like it's not this longest sense of thing. And women, we wear so many hats. And so I thought, oh, that would be catchy to launch it in 30 days. And so the first program, I launched it in January of 2020, and like five people signed up for the program. And of the five, one of them was a gentleman. So that was another eye-opening thing for me. And when we started with that first class, I was like, oh my God, people, first of all, I was like, oh my God, people pay me to do this. Like, wait a minute, I have a business because people are paying me to teach them. So I was like, okay. And I didn't really know that I was a good teacher, even though I come from a family of educators. The funny story is I'm the only accountant in the family. Everyone else was, you know, teachers. And I was like, okay, I could teach people to do this. And so we graduated the first class in January of 2020. And it is amazing to watch all of the clients that have gone through this program who are launching podcasts in 30 days. And so the business has grown since that time to just really be something that I recognize that this is something I absolutely love doing. So I really found my passion and my purpose simply by just wanting to serve other people. And it ended up blessing me even more by having my own business.
I love that. So like, here is what we have. Couple of things in common.
Yeah.
Like you found yourself involuntarily in a situation of a corporate, you know, layoff that you were like kind of surprised about and like, I don't want to live that through anymore. Right. And how can I prevent that? Right.
Yes.
So
right.
When I look at my story, it was a very similar thought process, but with a burnout. So there was a situation in one of my corporate roles in my career where I found myself in a situation when I was burned out. And it was situational, it wasn't a systemic problem in the company I worked for, but company made a bunch of decisions that weren't the best. And my department and me in that role were put in almost like an impossible task in front of us. And because you want to do good and you feel loyal to the team you work with and the company, you try your best.
Yes.
You work crazy hours. That's at least what happened to me, right? I started letting go or like compromising things that were important to me. My kids were very young at that time as well. And feeling exhausted and at the same time disappointed because nobody cared. Nobody was like, Maggie, what's going on? Do you need help? And I got so mad that I'm like, I do not want to be in that situation again. Now, that didn't prevent me. I was looking for another job, but kind of the situation changed, the company changed something. So I stayed. But my thought process was just like you. Okay, well, if I just change a job or if I move from company to company, I can still find myself in there 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So then the thought was, okay, I'm going to start my own business, right? Neither of us was in a position where maybe 10 years before we were dreaming about being an entrepreneur. Not, but me in that moment, it's like, in my business, I'm going to be in charge of my decisions. I'm going to live the consequence of those decisions, but then I will have myself to blame. Let's say if something doesn't go the way I want it. And the way I came up with the idea for my, so I'm a business coach, right? I'm a business and leadership coach. I work with business owners, help them grow, double their business without overwhelm, which is important because of my experience. Is that, it's like, okay, what am I passionate about? What do I love to do? And that was growing people leadership. At that point, I've been a people leader for many years and I really enjoy that. And I was doing kind of less and less of that as I was climbing corporate ladder. And I was like, no, 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 this is what I want to do most of it. And then also like, where's my other passions and skills and that were in business, right? That's why I signed up for MBA, not for grow my career, but just because I love business. Right?
Yeah.
Like put that together, sort of like you, and then started the business on the side and then ultimately left the corporate career to keep growing my business. So I love like how, in a way, similar thought process, a little bit different situations, but similar thought process of, I don't want to be in this situation anymore.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Well, so let me ask you this, because I know some people that are tuning in and listening. So like my decision came because of a corporate layoff,
yeah.
But you actually had a job. You weren't in jeopardy of being laid off, but you made that decision. So was the decision based solely on that you had just reached a wall, that you just didn't want to do this anymore? Were you even in the financial position to do it? Because I think that's where people get stuck sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like they hear, you know, start a business, but there's that fear. Mm-hmm. So like, what for you was that defining moment that you were like, hey, you know what? I have a job. It's great, but this isn't what I'm passionate about. Like what like was the catalyst that just said, you know what, I'm going to go all in.
So when I started, so that's a great question, actually, because it was a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I started the business, the idea was, okay, I need like a plan B because of that situation.
Okay.
And I want to do more of what I'm passionate about, not what's what I'm just good at. So that was another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing, but that came actually after, when I realized the potential owning your own business has truly, it's like, oh, my earning potential is unlimited. Whereas in the corporate, I was starting to see like, okay, there's probably a couple of more levels I could go up.
Okay.
But that could take me X amount of years, let's just say 10 or whatever.
Okay.
And at some point I'll hit the ceiling. And even then, within those couple of levels, it's not going to be major changing in like my earning potential, right? So then it was like, oh, I also have an opportunity to really have unlimited or expand my earning potential. But you're right. I didn't quit right away because I didn't know, right? They're just like, you like, oh, is that business going to work out?
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of businesses fail. So I started on the side and I've run it for a couple of years. And within that time, I started realizing not only I love it, but I can really make it work. And it's really will be successful.
Yeah.
So that gave me enough, I guess, going through that process. And it was scary. Don't get me wrong. There was some fear I was going through. But going through that process, talking to my husband, figuring it out, at some point, I was like, you know what? I know it's going to work out. I'm ready. Even if at the point when I quit, I haven't replaced, just say, let's say my salary, my corporate salary with the business income, but I had a plan to bridge the gap until I do.
And
I guess for me, it was once I realized that and made that decision, for me, when I do that, there's no turning back. And it's like, I'm going to make it work. Just like you said, like, I'm going to make it work. But I had a proof of concept of a couple years it wasn't just like wishful thinking, I'm going to make it work, right? But I knew exactly how to make it work.
And I love that. And I'm glad you said you had a proof of concept. So you just didn't just jump out there, just said, oh, I'm so passionate about business coaching and helping businesses that I'm just going to go do it. You actually tested it out in the marketplace to determine if this was something that was going to be profitable. And like for me, on the flip side, I didn't even know if this was something that could be sustainable. I just started with that first class and thought, okay. And it was funny because when I started, I didn't even know what to price my programs at. And while people were saying charge thousands and thousands of dollars, I was like, there's no way I don't even know if this is going to work. And so for me, I went kind of through the same process. Was I kept having these classes, whether five people showed up, one person showed up, 10 people showed up. I just kept holding these classes to see who would, show up. And the proof of concept came when they launched the podcast. So I recognized that, okay, this is something sustainable as a business, because the end result in the transformation someone gets when they work with me is they're going to launch a podcast in 30 days. And so for the same for you, you did some proof of concept and people paid you for it and they got results of what they were looking for. And you recognized something that I think I was in the same place, but didn't know it, that I saw that there would be a ceiling I would hit as a woman in corporate, and the annual salary wouldn't have been so significant that it would have made me want to stay. So even if I didn't have the layoff, I think eventually I probably would have done exactly what you did and just made the decision to step out of corporate and do my own thing. So I'm glad that you shared that, that you had a proof of concept, because I think some people that are listening, it's like, yeah, you might have a business idea, but you need to test it and give it some time, because you said it was a couple of years. Because I think some people hear, you know, these social media headlines, make $10,000 in 30 days, but they don't tell people that it took them 10 years to get the kind of clientele that they had before they earned their first $10,000 in the first month. So I think that's important. And I'm glad that you shared that.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, because you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but let's talk about, like, when you transition, what I found is that entrepreneurship is really like the biggest self-development school.
Oh, yes.
There can be out there, along with when you have kids. I think that's also like a self-development school. But I always think, like, having experienced that, I always think, like, everybody should start a business even for that reason. Because even in the corporate, I am a driven person. I love to learn and grow. Therefore, I was moving from position to position relatively often. So I was pushing myself, yet still, it wasn't at the pace of self-growth that I had to do as a business owner. So I guess the question I have for you, what were maybe the challenges of that or related to that when you transitioned? And also, what was fun about it? Because there's a lot of fun, right? Just like having kids.
Yes.
There's hard moments and there's a lot of fun with having kids.
Absolutely. I really have to say, going to Jack Welch Management Institute really was my playground in figuring out my leadership style and discovering where I was lacking courage in, because there were a lot of times, especially in corporate America, that it wasn't welcomed to express yourself and things that you wanted. Like, they would always talk about leaning in, like Sandy Sandberg's book, Lean In, talked about, you know, asking for what you want. And sometimes asking for what you want, sometimes you were retaliated against, especially as a woman. And so being in the MBA program really opened my eyes to so many possibilities I did not know were available to me. And so I really used that MBA program of leadership, communication, candor. These are some concepts in that school that you learn. And I really applied it when I started the business. And the funny thing was, I was that entrepreneur that would go to all of the free classes and people would say, get the website, get the business cards, get the brand colors. And it wasn't until I finally figured out what I wanted to do, because I thought I was going to be a motivational speaker. Then I thought I would be this, you know, New York Times bestselling author. And then, you know, I thought all of these things until I would start to get, I hired my first coach, and that was key. Making investments in your business. And one of them was, I realized I needed to get a coach to help me kind of streamline exactly what is the thing that I want to be known for? What is it that I want to do? Because the first question she asked me is like, what is it that you want? And I remember going, what do you mean? What do I want? And she was like if time and money weren't an issue, like, what would you be doing with your life right now in this moment? Like, what would you love to do? And I never had anybody ask me that, because every time I expressed that what I wanted to do, I was retaliated against. So I had to do some real soul searching. And once we figured out what I was passionate about or what I would really love to do, she helped me to hone in on the transferable skills from corporate America to running a business. And, you know, and it started with, like, you don't really need the website in the beginning if you don't even know what you're doing. So I had spent all this money on websites and business cards and all these things. And I worked with her for 2 years, and we worked on consistently just showing up, telling people who you are, what you do and how you serve. And I did that consistently for 2 years, nurturing and keep telling people about myself. And it paid off 10 times over because I went from being shy to say who I am and what I do to now when people hear podcasting or ask, who do you know teaches on podcasting? My name is brought up in circles I haven't even been in. But that was because I was consistently planting seeds along the way and nurturing those seeds and watering those seeds. Even though nothing was coming, nothing was sprouting, but she just kept saying, still keep nurturing those seeds because it's going to bloom. And when it does, you need to be ready for how people can work with you. You know, you have to have systems in place. So all of these things, and it's so, and she started talking about systems and processes. It brought me right back to my MBA. And I started to use those skills to build the business. And what has been so much fun about it is because there's such a clarity about what I do. I know exactly who I am. I know exactly the transformation. And I just nurtured this seed that has, I tell people my gifting of teaching as a podcaster is the trunk of the tree. And from that trunk of the tree, it's branched off into so many other things around podcasting. It birthed out authorship. It birthed out speaking engagements. It birthed out being on other podcast shows. It birthed out teaching other people. And it's like, now it was so clear. So once I got clear, then I went back to the website designer and said, hey, this is who I am. So it all, so the messaging all makes sense because I had people that said, you said you're a podcaster, but there was nothing on your social media that said you were a podcaster. I said, we see a book, they see speaking, but you don't say the main thing. And that was my first realization that I was like, oh, okay, you've got to get crystal clear first. When you start the business, and it will change. Like you said, it can change because you start to figure out, oh, this is not what I want to do, but this is now what I really want to do. And it's okay. So I love the entrepreneurship journey because it's so fluid. It moves. But when you get very clear to the foundation, then that's when things start sparking and growing. And then you start to see some results. So that's what I love about it.
Yes, that's awesome. And one thing that you mentioned that I think it's like the biggest growth in some capacities was for me is like building that emotional capacity to deal with uncertainty or the way we progress. Because as you say, in the beginning, when you, even when you have a strategy, where I always say have a strategy because at least you're stacking odds in your favor and not like shooting in the dark. But even when you have a strategy, there is a lot of faith where I come in and I'm planting the seeds and I'm showing up and I'm not seeing immediate results. It's not like I incorporate, I send an email, I get an email back, right? Or I do something and my boss taps me on the back. Good job, good job. Oh, good, right? So there is that uncertainty, like I've done something, but your brain wants results right away and there's not, and you have to handle that and have faith that it will work out in the end. And that's huge growth. I've seen it in me and I've seen it in my clients when I coach them on exactly what you said, like you gotta keep going and planting the seeds and not get distracted by, oh, maybe I should do this and maybe I should do that shiny object syndrome. So I think that's one of the biggest, and that's where like your proverbial like emotional roller coaster.
Oh God. I mean, let's just talk about that. Because that was something that I recognized the growth in myself, because I was thinking when I started, I'm probably all by myself. Like probably no one has these fears. Like I went through, oh my God, I don't have any clients this month. I need to go back to corporate. No, I need to stay and work my business. No, I need to go back to corporate. I went through those ebbs and flows for about 2 years of just trying to, like, did I make a mistake? Did I not? But it's like you have to manage the emotion about it. And the way to do that, like you said, this is really a faith walk. And if you're not a spiritual person, I say you have to believe in something. You have to believe in this thing so much and so deep. Like you have to have the attitude, like there is no plan B. I am all in. And no matter what happens, I'm all in. And if you're not, and if you're by yourself and like you don't have a partner, somebody mm-hmm. that can help sustain you financially while you're building the dream, I would say find a part-time gig mm-hmm. or something that will bring in some money. Like I have friends who do Uber Eats, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or they do DoorDash just to make a little extra cash to help mm-hmm. maybe sustain some of the bills while you're building. I'm building the dream, but the emotional roller coaster is real. And I recognize the months when there was no money coming in from the business, I just got to work even harder and, mm-hmm. you know, started networking more, I joined local chambers. I started mm-hmm. networking. I started, you know, telling people about mm-hmm. my business, and everywhere I went, like I would carry cards with me. I now have a digital card, but I would just tell people or I'd use social media. Like I said, I started my business with social media. So I would go on Facebook and look in groups and join groups that were about business or women mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. entrepreneurship. And I would just start sharing like tips on, you know, how to start a successful podcast. Just to showcase my expertise anywhere I can. And so mm-hmm. it's easy to feel that roller coaster, but what also helped me was getting accountability groups or getting an accountability partner, mm-hmm. someone that can keep you on track on those days when you feel like today is not a good day. And I say with that, give yourself some grace because sometimes we can get so in our head, like, I got to make this money that we overwhelm ourselves to where mm-hmm. it's no more fun and change the narrative and say, who can I help today with my 100%. Services? And I think when you change it to from the opposite of I gotta get to how can I serve? Yeah. Then your posture changes, mm-hmm. your messaging changes, because people can hear desperation. They can hear when you're just constantly 100%. Selling, 100%. Constantly selling. So I started sharing just my life. Like people would see the dinner meals I cooked or my weight loss journey or just my life in general. Mm-hmm. And even times when I was like, well, today was not a good day. And I just went on social media and just shared my transparency. And that connected to people because they were like, oh my God, I'm not by myself. Sonia's mm-hmm. not, you know, she's not having a great day or today wasn't a good day, but she still, you know, she still got up. I created a routine that's what I really want to go with this is that when you're an entrepreneur, you still have to create a routine every day, like as if you are going into that corporate office, because it's very easy to sit on your couch and watch Netflix. But it's like, but is Netflix going to get me any money today?
Yeah.
So it's like I set a goal, like how much money do I want to make today? And mm-hmm. then I create revenue generating activities that are going to help me to hit that goal. And now some days, no, I don't hit the goal every day. But if I made some money, I'm like, listen, today was a good day. I made some money. And guess what? Tomorrow will be better. And I just keep doing that every day, because what will happen is that consistency over time will yield the fruit that you're looking for. Because trust me, people are always watching you on social media.
100%. And that comes with like the next thing that I wanted to talk about, because sometimes people, you know, they get so, I guess, negative about corporate because maybe they got laid off or they had a bad experience. Yeah. And they try to throw the baby out with the bathwater saying, I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But what I found, there are certain things and skills that are actually transferable.
Yes.
And you can use them in your mm-hmm. business to your benefit. Mm-hmm. And one of them is having the structure and routine.
Yes.
Because the beauty of entrepreneurship is, there are snowballs. You have a full creative agency over your business. And I love that.
Yes.
And at the same time, it could be your biggest trap, just like Sonia, oh, I can watch TV all day.
Yes.
I don't need to work. But that doesn't bring money in. Mm-mm. So bringing that structure of corporate, okay, I have a contract with my employer where I show up to the office, I don't know, 8 hours a day and I do work. I tell my clients, it's the same with you. It's just not written. You have a contract with you, main shareholder of the business, with you. the business owner CEO, you're showing up. And would you pay yourself a salary if you watched TV all day?
Okay,
pay somebody else to do it?
Exactly. You wouldn't, right? You would not. You would fire yourself. Yes.
Exactly. So bringing that commitment to, if I have a contract with somebody, I make a commitment and I honor it. So bringing that same mindset and kind of structures like, okay, I made a contract with myself to start this business. Mm-hmm. So I will honor it and spend X amount of time. And it doesn't have to be 10 hours. It doesn't have to be 12 hours.
No.
But X amount of time building the business is very helpful. And what I wanted to talk to you about is maybe like, what are the other things or skill sets or certain approaches that you found actually helpful from your corporate career that you brought towards your business, even if you modify them along the way?
Definitely carving out time to work on certain aspects of your business and taking breaks. Because it's very easy to be in entrepreneurship mode all day long, but you're not prioritizing self-care. Mm-hmm. And so for me, every morning I wake up super early and I have a partner. She and I, we do a 5K at least 3 days a week. Now, full disclosure, I am power walking my 5K. My friend is running her 5K, but we do a 5K. Okay.
Hey, yes. So it's who cares?
But what that does for me is, one, it sets a routine for me, like, because I used to have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get dressed to go into drive to go to an office. Mm-hmm. Now I get up to hit the park or the gym to work out, because what that did for me was it helped me to clear all the clutter and all the stress that I had throughout, either in my dreams or things that didn't work well in the business, or I'm maybe stressing about, okay, where's my next dollar going to come from? And what it would do is it give me some clarity to say, okay, what top three things do I need to do today? So I'm a big to-do list type of girl. Mm-hmm. And so I would have, okay, what are the top three things that I need to complete today? And I would set time blocks for working on certain projects, and almost like a timer. I would set a timer for 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And for 90 minutes, I'd work on whatever that task is that I want to complete within that 90 minutes. And then I'll take my 15-minute break, or I'll get up from my home office and go into another room, or, you know, do laundry or something to just break up the day. But it also, the movement helps me to clear my mind, because I've spent many days in corporate sitting at my desk, eating lunch at my desk, not getting up. And that was so bad for me. And when I went on a weight loss journey, this was something that I kept incorporated into my daily life. So I try to exercise self and prioritize the self-care and time block, because that is so important, because you can find yourself working harder on your own business than sometimes working in corporate America. And you don't want to be in that space too, where you're just sitting still, stationary, because it's bad for your body. It's, you know, it's not good for your health. And then your mind needs a different scenery sometimes, so that you can clearly see where your time wasters are. So instead of scrolling on social media aimlessly, you know, I am, you know, I'm out there recruiting, trying to find my next client, but I use 90 minute blocks to work my day. And then I set office hours, because that's the other piece, because sometimes we can work 8 to 5 like a normal day, but entrepreneurs will work 8 to 10, 8 to 8. And you forget you got your family, you've got dinner, you've got other things that you got to do. So I had to learn to shut the office off. So, cause I was taking calls at 7 and 8 o'clock at night. And so I had to change that and had to set office hours. Like, nope, you get me from 8 to 5.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, when I would send out my calendar, when people need to schedule time with me, it was between the 8 to 5. And they were like, you don't work on weekends. And I was like, no, I do not. And I had to be okay about that. And I was like, if that person is supposed to be my client, then they'll figure out a way to do it. And they did, especially the 9 to 5, you know, corporate employees. And what they would do, those people who work full time, they would schedule time with me during their lunch break. Mm-hmm. And so I prioritized my time. Mm-hmm. I set those time blocks and then I prioritized self-care. So those were things that I took from corporate into my business because I would have done the same thing if I was in the office. I would have taken those 2 15-minute breaks that they give you when you work a 40-hour week. And so I just said, break for lunch. Yep. The mm-hmm. whole nine. So those are the things that I had to do so that I wouldn't burn out.
Yeah. And it's similar to me. And then my thought was always, because I, like you, at some point, I was that corporate person, never take break or just pee to your desk and so on. But then when that burnout experience happens, I started implementing those good habits for me and ultimately for me to be even more effective in my work. Take your breaks, introduce some morning routine, and actually being at MBA helped me because I started getting up earlier so I can learn before going to work.
Yeah.
And I love that time so much that then when I graduated and started my business, I'm like, I'm keeping this time, but it's going to be my time now for, stretching, meditation, whatever.
Yes.
But when I was starting a business, I'm like, I'm starting a business to actually not get myself into burnout, right?
Right.
So not only I'm going to keep that structure, but even expand on this, mm-hmm. like taking breaks and finishing at the same time and not working on the weekends, because that's something I didn't want in the first place.
Right.
But you're right. It's easy to not have that when, A, you're doing something you're passionate about and love. And then also when you're building it off the ground, there might be some money and financial pressures. So you're like, oh, I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that doesn't serve you on a long term and short term. So like I love because it's very so my journey.
Yes. Yeah. But these are all things that you learn and the School of Entrepreneurship will teach you. You'll figure out the things that work, that don't work. Like when because I even had my husband, he used to come to me and say, hey, you got too much on your plate. You're doing too much. You need to take time for yourself. And I used to feel guilty if I did that. But I found, just like you said, I was like, wait a minute, this is starting to feel like my 9 to 5 and I don't like this feeling. I was like, no, I need it to be light and airy. But when it's time to get down to business, of course, you get down to business, but there's a way to, I don't like to use the word balance because it's different for everybody. So I like to take out balance and put in prioritize, because you prioritize the things that are important for you, for your family.
Yes.
And I include my family in that. So I had, 100%. So I have family time, Friday nights, my husband and I, we try to do a date night at least once a month. Because I remember when I was so busy, just head down trying to build up the business. They were resentful because 24 hours a day, I'm like on the phone. And so I had to recognize, I was like, wait a minute, I'm spending too much time in the business. I need to set those hours. I need to prioritize. And when I did that, the family was a lot more supportive of me because I was less stressed, but then I was giving them their adequate time that they deserved.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I shut my brain off about the business. And like, I have my door, like close my door just so that I wouldn't even come in the office because I will pull up an email or do something very quickly if not. So I was like, nope, office is closed. We're shutting down. We're not talking business and we'll just keep going.
And I love that because like for me, when I started my business, like I want to do it my way and I want to incorporate my personal life in it. And I want to have all the things that are important to me, right?
Yeah.
It's not about having all the things because I don't care about Netflix. I can watch a movie once a week, but ultimately my business or my family is more important, right?
Yes.
Like vegging in front of TV forever. So it's not like all the things, but the important things. So like sometimes even tell my clients, like, you didn't start your business to be burned out. You didn't start your business to not be able to enjoy the fruits of your hard work with people you love and enjoying whatever is important to you, right?
Yes.
If you don't want to travel, don't travel, but like do other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that. And
we also
sometimes people forget that you're the boss. You can establish the rules. You set the boundaries. You make those decisions.
Yes.
So that's a powerful thing that you said, like a reminder. Yeah, we get to decide. There's nobody else deciding.
Yep. Absolutely. And so now that you've been working your business, other than the freedom, what do you love about entrepreneurship?
So I definitely love the freedom. Not even like, I love the scheduling freedom and time flexibility. Mm. And it does not mean that time flexibility means if I make a commitment and then I can change my mind and so on. No, if I make a commitment to a client, right. and so on, I honor right. that commitment.
Right.
Right. But I have more definitely flexibility there. Mm-hmm. But I love the freedom of that, like the agency of my decisions mm. and creating what I want yeah. and taking my business in directions that I want. And yeah. it doesn't mean I'm always right. It doesn't mean it right. always comes out exactly right. how I want, but I get to decide. So I
yes.
love that. Yeah, I love that yes. more than I thought I would. I wouldn't even, I didn't even realize how much I would love that.
Yeah. And for me, it's about choosing the people you want to work with.
Yeah.
Like I'm not pigeonholed to say, well, you have to work with these set of people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if there's people I don't like, I don't have to work with you. And it's yes. okay. Like the business doesn't shut down because mm-hmm. you and I did not partner in a project together. And then, like you said, the creativity, yeah. like there are times when I'm watching television in the evenings and the spark of idea hit me and I have a little notebook I keep, mm-hmm. you know, by my bed or by my desk in my den. And I'll write down, oh, that would be a great idea for a new program, or, you know, that's how I created mm-hmm. my book. I was like, okay, I need to write a book. Oh, that would be a great idea. And so I love the creative yes. downloads yes. that mm-hmm. I'll get throughout the mm-hmm. day and evening yeah. that it's like, and like you said, to try something. And even if it doesn't work, it's like, well, you know what? It's okay. It didn't work, but it was something to try, because sometimes some of those dead ideas may come back years later and yeah. actually work in yeah. in another situation. So yeah. I'm the same way. I love the creativity and the freedom to make the decisions that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you learn, right? You learn all yeah. the time. And again, I'm a big learner. I love to learn. And then of course, another thing, and I'm sure you, Sonia, see that too, like, because I became a coach or started coaching. Yeah. I was a coach even as a corporate leader, right? Yeah. But like on my own, because mm-hmm. I love seeing people grow.
Yeah.
So seeing my clients grow, because now I only deal with people who want to grow. When you're right. a corporate leader and you have team right. members, some of them love it and they enjoy your feedback and so on. And some of them not so much.
Yes. Right?
And you're yes. seeing the potential in them and you're like, oh my God, you could do so much better.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they're not taking that, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to when you're working with the clients who are paying you good money, mm-hmm. they listen.
Yes, they
because
do.
Because they're investing in themselves. Right,
right. right.
So seeing the results that they get and how they surprise themselves even with what they can achieve mm-hmm. when they get that support of a coach,
yes.
like that's priceless for me.
Yes,
I love
is.
It.
Yes.
I love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's great to chat. I think that we've been chatting for
yes.
a good time. Like, I think it's going to be yes. a great episode. But before we finish, mm-hmm. is there anything else you might want to say to my audience, your audience, however, because we'll share those episodes, and also how people can find you? Because I'm sure there might be a lot of people who are thinking, hey, I would love to start a podcast.
Right.
I've been thinking about it for 3 years and still mm-hmm. didn't get myself to do it. So you're the person to help them. So how can they also find you?
Absolutely. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for having me on your show. And for those that are listening, like, if you are a budding entrepreneur or maybe a seasoned entrepreneur, really ask yourself at the end of the day, did I do everything I could to serve other people? Because I truly believe that success in entrepreneurship really comes down to how you make people yes. feel, the experiences that you give them, because that's what people pay for. People pay for experiences. And if you're have a business that is not serving you in the way that you really desire, it's okay to burn it down and start something new. Lord knows I have done that many, many times, just trying to find the right fit. But when you do, you know, Maggie said it a couple of times, and it's something that I have on my vision board. That says, honor the commitment you made to yourself, mm-hmm. because that is what is going to sustain you when the clients don't come as often as mm-hmm. you like. But then when someone reaches out to you from the blue that says, hey, I heard that you do X, Y, and Z, and I want to learn more about your program or your services. If you just stay consistent, that is so critical. It's showing up every day, even when no one's watching. That's going to go a long way, because if you quit, you keep starting and stopping, mm-hmm. no one will take you seriously. And so you start with honoring the commitment you made to yourself and then go from there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you're someone who is saying, hey, I really want to start a podcast, or I've been thinking about it, I would love to sit down and talk with you to see how I can help you. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram at Sonia Keeve. That's SonjaKeeve. Or you can visit my website at soniakeeve.com.
Perfect. And we'll share those links in my show notes. So not a problem. I 100% agree. I really believe that in entrepreneurship, we're truly limitless. We are. Like, the only limits is the ones we sort of impose on ourselves, whether it's through our fears or not honoring commitments or whatever it is. And I love that. And at the same time, it doesn't make the journey, you know, walk in the park, right? Yeah. There is certain level of commitment, and there's certain challenges you need to overcome, but sky is the limit.
Absolutely. And
I love that for me. I love that for my clients.
Yes.
For all the entrepreneurs. Okay. So thank you very much, Sonia. I really appreciate you coming and doing that great collaboration with me. And then, see you guys the next time. Bye. Thank you for listening today. If this podcast resonated with you, please come back. Also, you can leave a review on whatever platform you're listening. And if you have a suggestion, question, or a topic you would like me to talk about, let's get in touch via email. Email me at maggie@stairwaytoleadership.com. See you in the next episode.